Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and that was a fun little song chosen by Joe here at Heritage. Thanks for that. That was fun. So today we are chatting with Nicole Carruth. She is the founder of With Food in Mind, a new organization. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thanks for joining us. And the organization that you started is so inspiring and very multi-layered, and I'm still figuring it all out. So would you mind just... Well, like many Heritage Radio Network, we're still figuring it all out. But tell us a little bit about With Food in Mind.
So With Food in Mind... produces projects that are at the intersection of food, visual culture, and social change. And it's really founded on one premise, and that being because food is relevant to every living person, it's uniquely capable of engaging people of all different backgrounds and learning about the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And the core program is an after-school program for underserved youth. And that is really, I think, has inspired everything that we do at With Food in Mind. And that is one, an attempt to combat obesity statistics, specifically among Black and Latino children who suffer disproportionately from obesity. But also at the same time, if you look at state-to-state statistics, those are also the populations that suffer the most from cuts to arts education.
Okay.
So it's... our after-school program is about, it's teaching youth about food through the arts. So it's kind of serving two needs.
Mm-hmm.
So with Food in Mind, doing work at the intersection of food, visual culture, and social change, all of that kind of goes back to the after-school program.
Wow, that is great. Very, very thoughtful. And it takes place at the school, like an extracurricular like club or something afterwards.
Yes, we are working on our pilot program. We'll actually start fundraising for that soon, and I'm hoping to be at the School for Democracy and Leadership in Crown Heights.
Okay, great. So you are an arts critic and writer and longtime curator and so forth. So you have a storied career in art,
yes.
Fine art and so forth. How did you get interested in food as something to merge these interests?
I think that's... I feel like there's always such a long story to answering that question. But I had a blog called Contemporary Confections. And that was basically a way to... I wanted to write about art. And so I created a space for myself. And in thinking about what I was passionate about, food, especially sweets. I have this... I have like a crazy sweet tooth. Food emerged as the thing that I... was interested in. So it was a way to kind of access artists. So I offered to bring an artist their favorite sweet to their studio in exchange for having a conversation
with
me. Is
this like a common ground thing? Like most art people have a sweet tooth?
No, they okay. didn't. Not everyone, but maybe. I mean, everybody loves to, you know, have someone bring a donut or something to their studio every now and then. So I started publishing these interviews. And at the time... It was just this thing that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I started thinking about how relevant food was to everyone. And I think as a curator, I've always been interested in making art accessible to broader audiences, because I think often we're talking to our colleagues and people who have the same educational backgrounds as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So food, I don't know, over the years I was like, well, this is perfect. This is a great way to make art accessible because everyone has some relationship to food. So I don't know, it just kind of happened. But over the past 6 or 7 years, food has become incredibly popular in contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of artists, and so has social practice.
So in art, you mean? So, like, food has become a theme or subject you see that explored through art?
Yes.
Cool.
I actually write a column for Art21's blog every month where I'm looking at what's happening with food and drink in contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Michael Rockowitz is an artist who is based in Chicago now, but originally from New York. And he did a food truck recently in Chicago. And it was a way to introduce Greater Chicago to Iraqi communities through Iraqi food.
Wow.
And there were actually Iraq war vets who were working on the food truck too. So it was putting these two groups together. And it was, I mean, an amazing project. So he's
an artist, but he started a legitimate, like a viable, like food serving food truck.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, had a truck retrofitted and went through all the hoops with like permits and all
mm-hmm,
of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going so far? Is it still, is it like an exhibit-based long thing?
Well, it was part of an exhibition that opened at the Smart Museum, and that exhibition has since closed. And I don't know if the food truck is still roaming the streets of Chicago, but that was one of the things they were thinking, that out of this art project could come something that was permanent.
Great. I wish I could try some Iraqi food from a truck.
Yeah,
that
me too.
Yeah.
And the food looked really good.
I'm sure. Yeah. Everyone connects around food, and you know, with so many like confusions or like unfamiliarities about different cultures, if you just try like the best food from there, it's like you have a different feeling about it, I think.
For sure.
I don't know. Yeah, that's really inspiring. Cool. So what other programs are you working on with In Food in Mind?
Well, we have a partnership with Third Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And which you know.
Yeah.
And on October 20th, we have a class coming up called Still Life Iphonography. And Valerie Rizzo, who is a local photographer, she is teaching the class. And students will have these, create these kind of stories at different tables. So root vegetables and baked goods, and they'll arrange their own still lives, and then she'll talk to them about how to achieve certain looks using your iPhone and certain apps, and how to create a balanced composition.
Nice.
And, like that.
And it's like a food-based still life
thing. We're using totally seasonal fresh produce and locally baked
things
from local bakeries.
Food. And I love that iPhonography. What is it called?
Iphonography.
Iphonography is a word.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of people, I mean, it used to be like you had to have this digital SLR to to be in like the kind of just be in the scene to be a photographer. But, you know, with these great iPhone 4 cameras, I do that. So, I mean, it works, especially when you're on the go.
Yeah. I also think, a friend was telling me that he heard something on the radio or on television that said, you know, the people who own cameras now, that's likely to be their last camera, because at some point everyone will be reliant on their phone.
Wow.
Because cameras are getting better and phones.
I'd love to hear if Michael Harlan-Turkel, the host of the food scene, would really disagree with us right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but it's I think it's just acknowledging a trend.
I haven't bought a camera in years.
Yeah, neither have I.
I was like, I was on the boat. I was like, should I get a new, or on the edge? I don't know. The fence. There we go. And I still haven't jumped over. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I have a digital camera that was my father's. And I mean, it was probably one of the first ones. And it's terrible.
Absolutely.
My iPhone.
I bet. Yeah. You have to spend a lot. Or nothing.
Yeah.
Or just have a phone. Interesting. So Third Ward classes, those classes are booming. Oh my gosh. Yes. I was looking at their calendar and they have like 8 classes going on at any given hour, it looks like. Mm-hmm. It. So
I think they offer something like 400 classes a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. It's crazy.
Well, that's cool because when I walked in there, I recently helped co-teach a class that Nicole had hosted along with Jenna Spivey, an amazing artist and installation artist and microgreens grower.
Yeah, that was a great class.
Yeah. But when I walked in there, it seemed kind of like a college campus that I walked in. Because they were like, I was like, which room do I go to for this class? They're like, well, you go down the hall and you make a left. And then as I was making all these twists and turns, there's all these different classes going on.
Yeah.
In different, like, kind of put together studios.
And like, they're all so different. There's, mm-hmm. you know, the
welding people?
Yeah, the welding and the woodworking and then
bicycles.
And then there's, you know, fashion photo shoots taking place in the photo studios.
Mm-hmm. For like fashion. And then there's us like cooking and stuff. And then there's people are walking by in the street, in the hallway, like, oh my God, are you guys cooking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely drew people in. Yes. Can I taste it?
Yeah, we had the best smelling class for sure.
I mean, that's case in point that food connects these artists and all types of people.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So, speaking of which, I saw that Jenna Spivey was teaching another class on microgreens growing with you.
She actually did something before the class at Third Ward. And that was, she was teaching young kids ages 6 through 16. How to make their own little micro farms with recycled containers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a community chef, Melissa Daniel, who's mm-hmm. From Brooklyn, who was harvesting the microgreens, as you did, that Jenna mm-hmm. grew, and kind of showing parents what they could do with them once their children's little farm started okay. to sprout. So she made a watermelon and arugula salad.
Oh, wow. Nice. So yeah. The kids and the parents attend the class?
Together. It was a drop-in art workshop at okay. Weeksville, so it was a really beautiful day, and it was on their lawn, and they have a farm on the lawn, and people could just stop at different tables and try food. And
nice.
The event was organized by the Laundromat Project, which puts artists in laundromats and sees laundromats as spaces for social change.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, they do really great work. So they have this annual event called Greening the City, which is an eco art festival. So we were part of that, and Jenna was there helping us.
Can you come to my laundromat? With the annoying.
We like, probably go to the same
yeah,
laundromat.
Yeah, we probably go to the same one on Lincoln Road. Or
yep.
Yeah, there we go. I was just there yesterday with the, oh my God, the stern Chinese old lady like shouting, oh, it's not dry. You have to add more quarters. I'm like, come on, stop micromanaging. Anyway, that's my experience. Nothing against old stern Chinese ladies. I have one as my mom. Anyway, well, let's come back to this conversation after a brief little musical interlude. We'll talk more with Nicole Carruth right after this.
grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. Today's guest is Nicole Carruth from In Food In Mind, and a longtime veteran art critic, curator, and so forth. So congratulations on founding With Food In Mind. I can't wait to see where it goes. I'm excited about the after-school program, and so that's going to be launching pretty soon, you're saying?
Or? Our Indiegogo campaign will launch in the next month. And then,
check that out.
Yeah, please check that out. We're raising money for the pilot program, and it's the after-school program is attached to an artist residency, so we pair an artist and a food professional, kind of like putting you with Jenna.
Oh, cool.
To create their curricula collaboratively. So it's about bringing their individual ways of thinking and creating into one really great curriculum.
Cool.
So that will happen, and then they'll actually go and teach that to students. So we're looking at winter, spring.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for other teachers to like reach out to you and suggest ideas? Okay,
yes,
reach out.
Sure. Reach out. info@withfoodinmind.org if you're an artist or a food professional interested in teaching. In our after-school program, and especially our adult workshops.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I can't wait to see how you pair people together. I think that'll be the funnest part,
yeah,
you know, as a teacher and as a student to check them out. This is kind of off topic, but is there any reason you went with Indiegogo for your campaign instead of Kickstarter?
Our after-school program, which is called Artists in the Kitchen, is a fiscally sponsored project of Fractured Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a partnership with Indiegogo and Rocket Hub.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I tend to see more nonprofit things on Indiegogo. But can you use Kickstarter? Or, like, does that not?
I can use Kickstarter, but they don't support Kickstarter campaigns in the same way that they support Indiegogo campaigns, them being Fractured Atlas. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I can't wait to check that out and help support it and spread the word.
Thank you.
Keep posted on withfoodinmind.org.
Keep posted. Coming soon. Very soon.
All right. So what is your ultimate date meal of your dreams?
My date meal?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And I know you're a vegetarian. We were just talking about it, so...
Vegetarian. Well, I have to say, my favorite vegetarian spot, and I have been known to go on dates here, is Gobo.
Gobo?
Yes.
Have I you don't been know there? It. No.
Gobo is on 6th and West 8th.
Is it like Japanese?
Maybe Japanese inspired. I'm not sure. Or Asian fusion. But it's a vegetarian vegan restaurant.
Oh,
and
cool.
I love their
food. I haven't seen it.
Really? Mm-mm. There's one on the Upper East Side,
I know it
too.
Means burdock root, but yeah.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Gobo is like the Japanese word for burdock root, but there it's like a delicacy. It's something that we don't really think of as food, but it's a delicacy there in Japan.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it's also a cool sounding word.
Uh-huh. It's a great name for a restaurant, too.
And what about for something you would cook? Do you cook a lot? I would imagine so.
I do cook quite a bit.
Yeah.
So my favorite date meal that I would cook?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a tough question.
And you're married, right? No.
No.
Okay. So now you're like, that's why you're like, brave. I don't know.
And when was the last time I went out on a date?
By the way, there is nowhere to go in our neighborhood.
There's not anywhere to go.
There's not even a supermarket anymore. The place closed. That place on the corner, the Papa and Sons or whatever, on Lincoln.
Oh, that's right.
But it wasn't good to begin with.
Right. It had gotten a lot better, though.
It had.
PLG.
PLG CSA is still very much alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Anyway, off topic.
Lincoln Tavern is doing well.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I am a fan of this this recipe that I got out of Gourmet magazine years ago, and it's a polenta and seitan and mushroom lasagna.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of that, and I like making that for friends.
So it's all layered with polenta, and then you cook the mushrooms with the seitan?
Yes, and then you put bake a lot of cheese on it.
And you bake it together?
And you make like a cheese sauce, yeah.
That sounds like a fun variation on something with like maybe sausage and mushrooms, and then tomato sauce or no?
No tomato sauce. No.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's good.
And very winter dinner worthy.
Hearty.
Where do you get seitan, or do you make it by any chance?
I've never made it. I usually buy it from Whole Foods or a little market on Flatbush called Susie's Farm.
I tried to make it once. It wasn't half bad in the end. And now I'm like, well, I totally forgot about that incident, and I want to try it again. But, you know, seitan is just gluten. And it's very straightforward. It's not tofu, you know, but it has that kind of similar chewy texture.
Yeah, it's even chewier. Which is, I think, I eat for texture, I think, as much as flavor. And I really enjoy that about seitan.
You like that? Yeah. Gives you something to bite into. Mm-hmm. Maybe because Nicole was just talking off air about how she misses bacon. And she's thinking about eating bacon, even though she hasn't eaten it in 8 years. But maybe if you add some smoky, like maple-y flavor to some seitan,
I can...
And then crisp it up.
Fool myself.
Yeah. I would give that a try.
I should try it.
In fact, you know, there's a new artisanal seitan maker in Brooklyn, and I can't remember their names, but they make different flavored seitans every week. Sometimes with, like, you know, just they like braise it or something, soak it in the flavor. So maybe we should suggest they make a bacon flavor.
Yes, please make a bacon flavor for Nicole Crew.
No, I mean for many people.
For a lot I've of heard people, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard of vegetarians who say, "I'm a vegetarian except for bacon."
You just can't duplicate bacon.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
It's wrong to try to imitate
not
it?
To try, but just it just tastes wrong to me.
Oh,
just,
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't think of when you eat seitan as something that's a meat substitute, right? You just think of it as its own thing.
Yeah, I don't think of it as trying to imitate something else. It just is. I think
there's two philosophies going on there about that.
Yeah.
So heavily favored or not, but yeah, I don't know. I can't really solve that issue either.
I don't know.
But it'd be fun to try. That's all I know.
One day.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to with the next steps for With Food in Mind? Either, you know, getting... Because I know that you just recently established it, and it's all run by you. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm also looking for an intern.
Oh, okay.
There's a call out for interns. But yes, it's run by me right now. And
and it's a nonprofit or?
It's a hybrid.
Okay.
So there's the kind of larger umbrella organization as a for-profit, and the after-school program, which is really our primary
project
is a nonprofit. And a lot of the adult workshops and events and things that I'm organizing are fundraisers to help the youth program. So it all kind of feeds back into the youth program.
Interesting.
But one of the projects I'm really excited about is a pop-up dinner that I'm doing in Canada, in Toronto, with an artist named Adam Chanfrani. And that will take place on American Thanksgiving Day, November 22nd. And she did a project she used to live in Brooklyn. She recently relocated to Toronto. And she did a project called Consume Love, where she built this kind of wooden food cart inspired by her Italian ancestors. And she was dumpster diving. And so she would take all of this food and she would make food for like opening receptions.
Oh, wow.
And serve it to visitors, and it gave her kind of a platform to talk about the food choices that we make and about food waste and environmentalism and all these things. So drawing on that, we are doing a pop-up dinner for With Food in Mind, which is a pilot for what I hope will become a series of pop-up dinners prepared by artists.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
So
is it going to be forage from dumpsters?
Forage,
some of it.
She's collecting crab apples and things right now. She's preserving some things, and then she's she'll be dumpster diving for root vegetables and things like that. And she's cooking a really great meal.
I don't know if everyone has this reaction, but I can't wait to see, like, I just love the sound of that, because I know that people are really creative, and I know that I'm not afraid of it. I don't know. And I know it's going to be good.
It freaks some people out. And I kind of get a kick out of explaining freeganism to people, because the just the looks on people's faces. But she makes really good food. And she makes really good points, because I think when people think of dumpster diving, they think of food that has rotted already. But a lot of times, grocery stores and restaurants are required by law to throw things out when they're still perfectly fine to consume. And freegans tend to know when, where to go and when to go there, so that things are still in, you know, perfect condition.
And it's so creative, too.
Yeah.
Because you get to use, I don't know, apples or whatever it is that you find. And if you're, I don't know, I feel like it's just such a cool way. It's like making art from, you know, found materials.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And what is the artist's name again?
Adam Cianfrani.
I gotta check this guy out.
Girl. Like
A girl named Adam?
Yeah, A-T-O-M.
Oh!
And she's the co-author of a book called A Roof Grows in Brooklyn, DIY Green Roofing.
Wow.
And she's also, she'll also be teaching a class for With Food in Mind on green roofing and DIY solar heating.
Sounds like my kind of girl. Well, cheers to that. So definitely check that out on the calendar at withfoodinmind.org. And I guess that's about all the time that we have left.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here, Nicole. And we'll see you next week on Let's Eat In, with probably a different song in the intro.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.